Welcome to this edition of the Shutdown Fullcast. I am Spencer Hall, and no one cares, because there's only one name we need to worry about this week. Actually, it's like eight names. Three names, maybe. Starting with this, Sean Combs. Joining me, Jason Kirk. Please explain, our college football editor at SB Nation, why Sean Combs is the word of the week. Just in case you've, been rafting on the Irrawaddy through Burma for the last week. Why should we on a college football podcast discuss a 700 millionaire ex-rapper fashion don?
The reason that man Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Puffy Puff Combs is college football news this week, this month, this year, is his son Justin, known as the namesake of Justin's restaurant, which Big Boy doesn't like. Justin has mentioned about 18 times on Puffy's No Way Out album, and then rarely after that, is an actual football player, plays a little special teams for UCLA, had a little falling out with his strength coach a couple days ago, which strength coaches are known to push people to the limit. If any of us have ever interacted with a strength coach, you can see how you could find yourself wanting to distance yourself from that situation. Puffy caught wind of that. And then hands were laid. Not just hands, in fact, a kettlebell. Puffy, at some point, brandished a kettlebell, and that led to five criminal charges. And here we are.
I'm going to break this down and go to senior kettlebell correspondent Ryan Nanny, also joining us from SBNation.com. First, is this the hardest, is this the like, hardest hit that Diddy has ever thrown down?
It's the best defense anybody associated with UCLA has played in years, I would say.
Boom. Maybe we could also explain what a kettlebell is, because I just assume everybody knows. But Ryan?
Oh gosh, so I have to describe a kettlebell?
Yes.
A kettlebell is... Okay, so basically you would call... It's a weight that has a big loop on the top of it, similar to what you would see on a tea kettle. And rather than a dumbbell or a barbell or something, the bulk of the weight is underneath that handle in a large sort of like almost like a gumdrop shape. So it's like, usually covered in some sort of rubber, but I think it's steel or iron underneath.
It's like a cannonball like suitcase, right?
Right.
Like
that's a very good explanation.
Cannonball.
That's my favorite emo band, by the way.
Cannonball. It's also my favorite Burt Reynolds short film.
Cannonball with the suitcase. Yeah, that's what a kettlebell is, and this is what Mr. Combs, aka P. Diddy, aka Puff Daddy, this is what he allegedly swung at, I believe, a strength coach intern.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Someone on the training staff who was an intern.
But here's the thing. Everybody knows that Diddy only makes hits when he borrows old material. So was he like singing I'm Every Woman while he swung this? Like was he humming some Stevie Wonder bars?
It was slower. It was back down.
Isn't she lovely?
Yeah. It was like Switch. There'll Never Be Another Lover, but, you know, sped up like two beats.
Got to think about this. We're talking about a West Coast program, so that might be a recycled kettlebell anyway.
Wow.
So it could have played right into his hands.
The strength coach in question, by the way, is also part of the cast. It's Sal Alossi, who you may remember Sal Alossi last seen tripping someone on the sidelines in an NFL game. The thing is, the other person wasn't on the sidelines. Sal Alossi was on the sidelines. The other player in the field of play, which is illegal, and that's what gets you fired from the Jets. And that's why you're working at UCLA and not in a cushy NFL job where you actually don't have to do your work as a strength coach because nobody's listening to you anyway. That's the guy that Sean Combs allegedly swung a kettlebell at. There are so many angles to this story that I want to cover. The most obvious one, to me at least, being this, that I really had to move like Diddy up in the rankings of rappers who would actually start a fight. I'd kind of forgotten on it and kind of slept on it, but he's now like a solid top 15er, top 20, top 15er, just in terms of combativeness. Now, I don't want you to list like the whole 10, but who are we putting in that pantheon of like rappers who you actually don't want stepping up and might actually be able to go toe-to-toe with the strength coach?
So are we talking rappers who we think are willing to take it to that level, or that we are would just be afraid to fight? Because there are some big dudes that I think are not necessarily ready to pop off.
I want the full package.
Well, if we're talking about willingness to fight, I mean, our boy T.I.
Yeah.
Got into it with Floyd Mayweather and survived.
Yeah, by the way, doing it with a degree of difficulty and style that I think would be hard to equal, this is T.I. T.I. tried to get into a fight with Floyd Mayweather at the Fat Burger in Las Vegas.
That's pretty good.
So there's your list.
No, I got another. The Game.
The game is up there.
The Game's The Game's like 6'4".
Right,
He's pretty big. And if you search The Game fight, which you think that's a pretty vague search term, right?
Nope.
Search it on YouTube. The Game's on there starting like one brawl, a couple of fracases, and winning a couple of one-on-one battles with dudes. Well, like one is like over a pickup basketball game.
Yeah, and there's one video where like he's got the dude on the ground and he's not done fighting. Like he's stomping like he's stone cold.
Yeah, he's waiting for like Herb Dean to come in the black t-shirt, right? And wave him off and stop the fight.
That probably is the game when he's fighting. Like he's still name dropping. Like, I just stomped you like Dr. Dre. I just stomped you like 50 Cent. I just stomped you like Eminem.
I know lots of famous people. Here, I'm gonna punch you again.
I just stomped you like Steven Spielberg.
Also, I mean, I think he could probably be good for a minute because his conditioning suspect now. But one of the all-time alleged great brawlers in rap history, Ghostface Killah. If I don't want Ghostface in my office, I don't, because if he's got like 30 seconds, and that might be all he needs.
I think Raekwon is probably the one I'm more terrified if we're talking Wu-Tang.
Well, per Wu-Tang, it was Ghostface and Method Man. Yeah. Those were the two dudes in the club that nobody wanted a part of.
I believe the legend about Ghost involves him beating up Mace. Which brings us back to Puffy.
Yes, exactly. Just in case you wonder where Puffy properly belongs in this pantheon, his second, because remember, if this were a duel, right, I guess Mace would be the one holding the box of pistols, right? Like, this is my second.
Well, Mace is versatile here. He can either back you up in the fight, or he can bless you before you go in.
Correct. Mace also was hit so hard by Ghostface that he had to have his jaw wired shut.
That's not good.
Yeah, but it's good for Ghostface if we're talking about fighting in a formidable fashion. Also,
the thing about Mace is you get your jaw wired shut and he can still rap exactly the same.
Yeah. Mace here is just eating liquid dinner.
That's all I heard, by the way, the whole time in this story was, you know, as he's getting into the argument, like Sean getting really vocal and getting up in Sal Alosi's face. And then still interspersing things with, "How could you bench my son?" Yeah. I don't get it. Come on now. Let's go.
You know who I'm also not gonna fuck with at all? That would be 50 Cent. I mean, I know 50 Cent is, for many reasons, I think we're collectively not that interested in him. But I think he understands that his reputation is such that he cannot walk away from something and not hear about it at some point, right?
He's physically fit.
He's physically fit, and he's let us know that all along. Fit
as all of us combined.
Yep.
He's been shot in the head.
Right.
His very first splash was he put out a song rapping about robbing every rapper by name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which led to, you know, all of these other rappers making threats at him and none of them amounting to much. So basically fearless, impervious to pain, to bullets, to the face. Yeah. Fitty's old and he hasn't made a good song in a long time, but I'm not going to tell him that.
Yeah, additionally, I think he's one of those guys who, with the trappings of wealth, bought a really nice gym. I know some people get foie gras soft with a little bit of money.
No, he has a personal chef to prevent that, I bet.
Oh, and I'm sure there's like, if he's got money, he's done that thing where he's like, this week I'm taking Krav Maga.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he probably did that for a movie. He's probably one of those like you know the secret one on this list, like the last one you'd ever think, Will Smith. Will Smith had to take like legit boxing classes for Ali. Like Will Smith has said, like, I just can't punch people anymore. I'll actually hurt them. Like he's actually learned actual shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the kind of thing that he would really glory in doing and displaying publicly after, you know, years of being labeled the soft. He'd like to flex once, right?
Yeah, he'll punch the thetans right out of you, man.
That said, I would love to see Will Smith fight Action Bronson.
I was going to say, I'm consulting for this. I did actually do a little bit of homework.
That doesn't sound hard.
Shea Serrano has a chart from 2014 on Grantland, which is the chart, which is, if I fought this rapper, would I win? Okay?
Okay.
I guess this is assuming average fighting capability. And I will just go, it's a spectrum from not very to very, and I will, the first rapper I list, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the first rapper I list will be the soft one that you could probably beat, and then over on the spectrum, the one that I will mention second is the one that you would not want to fight with a sledgehammer with them wearing a blindfold, right? Uh-huh. And some of these are like, really, this is pretty, like, I have no dispute with anything on this list. On the not very side, J. Cole.
he's a bigger guy.
He's a bigger guy, but
he's not like, you know, like 50 Cent big, but he's bigger than me.
On the very side,
he's a gentle guy and all, but
yeah, that's it. He might be like one of those super gentle prehistoric sloths that just were like, you know.
I don't know. I don't like his music all that much, but
according to Complex, one of his original rap names was Therapist. So yeah, I'm not real worried.
you know why they call him the Therapist? Because he was going to put you to sleep on the couch.
And then he's a good listener.
Mm-hmm. Can listen to you snore, motherfucker. And then on the very tough side, T.I. Okay, so yeah, I agree with that. Now a little higher, okay, and on both, okay, so a little tougher, but still not tough. Lil Wayne, he's just so small, you could just sit on him.
Yeah.
And then on the super tough side, Lil Boozy.
sure. The Free Boosie movement. You go back and look and. He's done some stuff, man.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Like this wasn't, like, some of the stuff he's been in jail for is like, whatever, but he's done some stuff you should be in jail for.
Yeah, he did 5 years in Louisiana.
Yeah, in Angola.
Yeah,
remember, he recorded with Silk the Shocker in Angola.
If so, those are my options, I'm fighting Wheezy.
Oh, yeah, no. Dude, if those are my options, I'm fighting two Wheezys. You can clone them.
Could you beat one Boosie size Wheezy or 10 Wheezy size Boosies?
This is our new internet question. Well, it's so much better.
I feel like this is like Jameis Winston's like senior thesis.
Wheezy's basically just fighting a minion who's learned how to rap. Correct. As a reminder, to go see Minion, sponsor of the Shutdown Four. No.
I'll tell you what, though. Wheezy's back, man. I know we're not getting into actual rap here, but man, after a decade of being trash, man, Wheezy's bringing it again.
Oh, so he's back on drink. Okay. Good for you, Lil Wayne.
Allegedly.
There are some very... There are another series of really interesting ones. One on the spectrum, Future on the soft side, which I'm not real sure about.
Nah.
No.
When was this list made?
Was this? 2014.
Okay, so this was probably when like Loverman Future song was out?
Yeah, like maybe he's a little soft at the point.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this.
I'm saying there's fluctuations there.
Okay, but it, the comparison with Future, by the way, is DMX about 400 feet off the chart where he's listed.
DMX
That's not even fair.
DMX is it's not relevant because it's not a fight so much as it would be just in no rules death match extended. Like DMX might give up halfway through, but then decide to steal your identity, and so he can use it to buy illegal Russian weapons.
To me,
and DMX, technically the fight was over, but not to DMX.
Like, putting any rapper against DMX in a physical fight of any sort is like the what Batman versus Superman thing, and it's like, oh, cool. Well, you know, like, Kanye West could invent a robot and teach it to fight and make it fashionable and what, and oh, okay, well, DMX would eat it.
Yeah, wouldn't matter. DMX is one of those dudes who, when I was a kid, we had a book called Max, the Dog That Refused to Die, and it was this story of like a Doberman Pinscher who fell off a cliff and the family thought it was dead, and then like the other 70 pages of this weekly reader book were nothing but Max, like, I don't know, fighting biker gangs.
God damn, this is Tennessee as hell.
I know it is. Like, oh, like fighting biker gangs and overcoming anthrax and, like, you know, fighting his way through, you know, the 36 chambers of death. Like, this was Max the Dog That Refused to Die was a really inspirational story. And every time I hear DMX's name, I'm like, that's him. It doesn't matter. He's like our Rasputin. We can just put DMX through anything and he will come out the other side with someone else's, like, scalp in his mouth growling.
If you punched DMX in the chest, you might find out that his torso is composed of sunlight.
Yeah. Oh. I think more like dark matter.
Yeah. Okay, sure. I mean, I think that's...
I mean, that seems like to fit with his iconography and all that.
Right.
It's dark and hell is hot, you know?
I think I think you'd punch him and like sand would come out of his ears and it wouldn't matter, right? He'd be like,
oh,
that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Boom!
I will swear
that was a cannabis video.
Nobody's ever seen a cannabis video. Jason, let me ask Spencer. Let me ask you, where on this list is Busta Rhymes?
Busta Rhymes is on the tough side, and he's paired up with Kanye, and I think that's fair because Kanye's like Kanye's like not quite tough, which I think is right. It's properly rated, and then Busta's like mid range toughness, which I think is true because he's gonna get winded. The Game is real high, like the Game's real high on this list. For some reason, he has Drake real high, and that may just be contrarianism, which I respect, but I'll pardon, too.
Drake's also got a hell of a chip on his shoulder.
He does, and, you know, he's Canadian. They like to fight way more than you think.
He's also,
a shirtless Harry kind of fighting.
Let me put it this way. There is a whole Wikipedia page called List of Drake Feuds.
I mean, he
with
like,
whom? With whom were these disputes?
We got Pusha T, Common, Chris Brown, Ludacris.
What is Drake doing having a feud with Pusha T?
It's right here.
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
It did not come to blows. The evidence for that is Drake is still with us.
I can do that too, Drake. Watch. I got a beef with the Tiger. Screw you, Tiger.
I also like having a beef with like 50-year-old Common.
Yeah, that's...
Like not the Common that got into it with Ice Cube.
That's by the way, Shay's got Common pretty high, man. I mean, it's not like the Game. Or,
I mean, Common's in shape.
He's big, right?
He's from Chicago.
I mean, I assume Common's probably one of those dudes who's, you know, like, probably a little... he's in Hollywood shape, too.
I got to go back to Busta versus Kanye. Is this before...
Before Busta got fat?
Before Busta got
just
fat,
say it. Before Busta got fat,
he became robust.
On the
robust
spectrum,
rhymes.
We had skinny Busta, then steroid Busta, then robusta. Was this before minivan commercial robusta? And was this before Kanye started beating up paparazzi?
Well, come on.
Right now, I think I'd take Kanye.
No.
I haven't seen how Busta looks today. He might be back in shape, but without looking, I'm going to take Kanye.
Yeah, but that kind of seesawing on the weight, that's got to be hell on Busta Rhymes' heart.
Yeah, give him 80 years, and Kanye will come out ahead here.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. This is a matter of can Busta get one shot, right? Like that's
he is very much late in his career heavyweight prize fighter.
Exactly. We want some tomato cans, like, before the big yay fight. We want the big pay-per-view payout and then he retires.
If they bring me out for round 5, I'm taking a dive.
Exactly.
Cuz this shit ain't worth it.
I'm 2 rounds away from going to the WWE. That's
another factor here. Who wants it more? Like, Kanye would probably rather saw his arm off than lose a fight on TV, whereas Busta's like, how much hold you paying?
Buzz is like, wait, can I? Are we doing another Halloween movie? Can I get in on that? H3O, it'll be great.
So the most there's a couple of really other interesting ones on here. My favorite being this, that Action Bronson and Tyler the Creator are paired. With Tyler the Creator being way over on the soft side, Action Bronson being over on the hard side, which I believe, because of all of the rappers we've considered in here, there's two that I think would be the hardest to knock out. Like in terms of blunt force I have to apply to their head.
Right. You can win on points, but right. not getting knocked out.
It's a big tree, and I don't know if I got enough axe to bring it down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the dudes who would be hardest to knock out, like the Game. The Game, I just don't see being able to knock out. I don't know if that's how his physiology works. Okay?
The dude got a butterfly tattoo on his face, and he's still really scary.
Yeah, he's absolutely terrifying.
Game right? got dumped on a dating show, and he's still terrifying.
Exactly. There's nothing you can do to bring down the Game.
Action Bronson is the other one, because he's one of those like big fat dudes who has a real low center of gravity, who I'm just going to have a hard time getting at. And even if I lay a fist on his skull, the chances that that massive object would be impacted by the tiny asteroid of my fist flying in, it's minimal, man. It's like a golf ball hitting the moon. I don't know if it would do anything.
Yeah, if this is a last man standing match, he's going to be standing.
No. If you're fighting Bronson, it needs to be like Battle of Hoth style. You just need to wrap the legs up and bring him down that way.
See, that's the thing. I think his legs and his feet are so wide and so short.
I understand.
Man, his legs look like Kevin Smith's pants.
Oh, my God.
Just he's got natural, like, Junkos are actually made for him. Mm-hmm. Like he fills out Junkos. You're like, wow.
This is comfortable.
Yeah, this is actually.
These are fitted.
These are form-fitting. Thank you.
The other side of that battle, I picture Tyler Creator fighting like that dude in Soul Calibur who lives in the dungeon and wears like the gold leotard with the claws and the mask. You know what I'm talking about? The dude who's like spinning around and like, stop, what are you doing? Stop. You just want to beat it up so you can don't have to look at it anymore.
Yeah.
Like he's just like he's trying to like lick your ear in a fight.
Yeah, or like stopping midway through to be like with tears in his eyes.
Like tries to put boogers in your eyes.
We don't have to do this.
Shit.
We don't have to do this. We do.
Like then punch you right in the groin.
Yeah, but you're kind like of ineffectively.
Biting your
right?
ankle.
Man. I see a lot of flailing here.
Do you think anybody's still listening to this podcast?
Oh yeah. They're definitely listening.
Okay.
This is gripping. We'll probably actually get more listeners out of 20 minutes talking about whether rappers can fight or not. This is also, by the way, going against the strength coach, like the dumbest possible call.
Yes.
The dumbest. Like there is no, like in order of people you want to fight on a football team, in order, okay, on the coaching staff, that's number one. Number two, like, I don't know, might be special teams coach, right? Because they like to headbutt stuff.
Yeah, might be offensive line coach or defensive line coach.
Maybe defensive line. I feel like they're less likely to have a back injury.
Right.
That's true. Defensive line coaches I always associate with like because they work with such large angry things that they're the ones I associate closest with like cowboys right? Like just grab a large animal by the face and be like go over here like
I feel like defensive line coaches are often a lot younger because offensive line is so much more about technique. Obviously defensive line involves a lot of technique and skill also, but offensive line is so much more complicated that I feel like defensive line coaches are able to advance at a younger age. So defensive line, you're getting a big dude who's also not that old.
Yeah, that's fair. On the easier side, I'll throw a quarterback coach in there.
Yeah, I think we're agreed sure. that the quarterback coach is just going to lay there.
Skinny, overconfident.
Certain wide receivers coaches probably in there as well. You know, they'll be speedy and they'll be willing to throw hands, but that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily land a knockout.
They're going to have a lot of reach and they're going to have a whole lot of attitude.
They are.
I will say this about wide receivers who can fight. They can really fight. Like Steve Smith? Steve Smith.
Oh, Jesus.
Steve Smith once described in a fight as hitting a man like he had a bulldozer in his hand. That was the actual description from somebody who watched Steve Smith beat someone's ass in a film meeting. Mm-hmm.
Steve Smith will step on a stepladder to punch you in the face.
And for some people, he might have to, but But he'll do it.
He's willing.
He's willing. He'll climb that mountain.
He'll buy the stepladder.
Yeah.
Here's the receipt.
He'll say, wait right here.
I'm going to expense this.
I'm going to get a rope and an ice axe and some crampons.
I consider beating your ass a second job, so this is deductible.
I'm going to scale you so I can punch you in the face.
I'm going to take a picture.
Yeah, Steve Smith's a little Mac. He's tiny, yeah. But he'll bring down Tyson if he hits the right buttons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other position that I totally would not want to mess with in terms of this is your recruiter, because he's the one who spends the most time at bars. So that's floating, but pretty much your recruiter is the dude who you don't want to mess with because he has that kind of effervescent charm that you can really only have if you have a touch of psychopathy, right? Like, you have right. to have a touch of insanity to be a really good recruiter. Which is why, like, Ed Orgeron and, like, Tosh Lupoy, these, like, big old defensive line coaches are such good recruiters, because they're big, intimidating man bears that you don't want to say no to, because they might beat you up.
Also, they're the usually the youngest guy on staff, too.
Yeah, usually the youngest guy on staff. Like Damian Craig?
Ooh.
Yeah, Damian Craig's a quarterback, but man, yeah. I would not mess with him in a fight, because he's the recruiter.
And the wild card for me here, special teams coach.
That could go anywhere.
Most of the time, the special teams coach are just like, yeah, you know, not a big deal. But I'd say maybe one out of four, you're like, oh, shit. They put this guy on special teams because he got a little too hype to do anything else.
You might have just like, he's the extra coach.
Yeah.
He's the coach who's there. Go look at the kickers. Or he might be some like Steve Tasker special forces renegade.
Lock everything!
Who's just a maniac.
Exactly. The Ron Zook model. Remember Ron Zook before he was defensive coordinator with the Saints was special teams coach. He was demoted to special teams coach after being defensive coordinator at Florida and did really great work as a special teams coach and also liked to headbutt people without a helmet. He was one of those guys.
That's fun.
But 99 out of 100 strength coaches are the dudes you can even give them the first punch and it won't matter.
That might be the worst idea.
Yeah, no, I'll give them the first punch. That way the fight's over.
Yeah, just let them start it and finish it, and that's it.
Exactly. I surrender. I wish that was, you know, like, that probably should be an option. I concede.
You hand him your kettlebell.
Here you are.
I just grab the nearest white object and wave it in the air.
I cleaned it for you.
There you go. So this was basically the most, this now seems like old hat, but it was the most improbable story I can possibly think of in this offseason, which has been relatively quiet.
I'm excited.
Let's not lose sight of how precious this story was.
I'm excited because I sort of assumed that Diddy was just going to like lay low and plea this down, you know, take a misdemeanor and some community service, whatever. But his lawyer's out there being like, this is totally wrong. Mr. Combs was on the defensive. I'm excited to find out if UCLA, I don't think so, but if they did pull some shenanigans and somebody on that staff took a swing at Diddy, I'm excited to find that out too.
I'd like to put this in perspective. You have a 700 millionaire.
Yeah.
He's worth more than the entire UCLA football program.
Easily.
Like maybe UCLA athletics as a whole, okay? And their loyalties and budgeting are divided. His is not. This is a fight that like he could win with one arm tied behind his back.
The entire university's endowment is $3 billion. Puffy has a third of that.
And Puffy never had an Adidas deal that I remember.
Correct. He never wore Adidas. And as ridiculous as you may find the shiny puffy pants.
I do.
From all those Hype Williams videos, they're still not as bad as some of Adidas' uniforms.
Absolutely.
Harsh, but fair.
Gentlemen, do you have questions this week? We have so many good questions on this that we can turn over to the readers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's starting? I don't know. What's going on? You want me to go first?
You know what? We can let you go first.
Okay.
You go right ahead.
All right. This question comes from JJ Keen 2 at JJ Keen 2 on Twitter. Is George O'Leary the worst choice for athletic director ever? All right. Well, let's consider. Under his coaching watch, he has seen a wrongful death lawsuit. They've seen a major infractions from the NCAA case. He obviously has the whole light on his resume thing. But on the plus side, I don't think he's ever been involved in a federal money laundering suit, so that's a plus. I am not aware of any rumors that he ever tried to import illegal animals to the United States, although it is Florida, so I can't rule it out. He's not the worst choice for athletic director ever, but he's top five.
Can I ask you some questions about him?
Yes, go ahead. I'll play George O'Leary's lawyer, the worst job in the world. Go.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you've already appointed me this. It's too late.
You know what? You said the words George O'Leary's lawyer, and in great neon letters in my head, the phrase that appeared was racetrack fraud. I don't like I just saw it.
That's like plead down to racetrack fraud.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Hey, listen, George. You got some problems here. I got something in Arkansas that came up. It's a little tricky, you know. So I'm gonna.
My client believed this neighborhood was zoned for a racetrack. If that is a crime, let him be guilty.
It's,
all right. Go ask me questions about George O'Leary.
Did he attempt to pay his graduate interns half of what Kansas paid them?
I would say no.
No. Did he cut a charter flight for the baseball team and instead made them take 7-hour bus trips out into the middle of nowhere in West Texas?
No, because UCF doesn't have a baseball team. They have a medieval knights practice squad.
Okay. But he still didn't do that.
He did not do that. No.
No.
Correct.
Okay. Cool. Did he restrict his coaches from going into the athletic dining hall whenever they wanted?
Look at the man. Of course he didn't.
Okay. He didn't do that.
No.
Did he cut the band's budget in half?
No. I mean, he did demand that they play much more John Philip Sousa, but if there's nothing wrong with that.
Is he actively trying to book games in Dubai, Shanghai, and Sydney?
Actively is such a tricky word. I mean, yeah, he may have responded to a Craigslist ad or two, but that's just out of curiosity late at night when you think nobody's watching, but really your family's still up wondering why you don't come to bed ever.
Did he already alienate donors?
Yes.
As, like donors of the yes. million-dollar variety?
Oh, at UCF, no.
No.
Donors, yes. Million-dollar donors, no.
Okay. So that means that...
Oh, this reveal is going to be good.
It's good, good. So you're saying that he hasn't done any of the things Steve Patterson has already allegedly done at Texas?
No.
Hook him.
So, wait. If I can follow your logic here.
Oh, wait. No, I've got one more. Has George O'Leary tried to get Orlando to pay for a facility on the taxpayer's dime?
I mean, nobody pays taxes in Florida.
Exactly, so no. That's another thing, because Steve Patterson's trying to get Austin to shell out for a facility.
Yeah, I mean, all of Florida's tax dollars are going to that Marlins stadium anyway.
Entire budget is just a check. It's so, like schools, $75. Marlins, $8 billion.
So what you're telling... you can learn a lot from that statue, by the way. It's an accurate rendition of European history as told by dolphins. What you're telling me is that the best move Texas can do right now is wait out the year while George O'Leary does his interim AD thing, fire Patterson, and then bring George O'Leary over as full-time Texas athletic director.
You read my mind.
Period. I'm sorry, Andy Wall, if you're listening to this. I hope you're not.
Why would she listen to this?
I don't know why anyone does.
Oh, does he have a $15 million hole in his budget that he can't quite explain? Probably not.
Probably not.
I have a couple questions about George O'Leary.
Great.
Was he ever arrested alongside J-Lo in 1999 at a nightclub for weapons charges for which his associate took the fall and spent 10 years in jail, thereby ruining his own musical career?
Yes.
It was 1997.
Oh, that's when it happened to George O'Leary.
And it was with Fergie.
Wow.
Fergie was like
the princess.
He's got an eye for talent.
She was like 38 at the time.
No. Yeah.
Young.
A fresh, a fresh-faced Fergie.
George O'Leary going for an older lady.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine
that? That's not possible. That's a joke. That's O'Leary? A joke. There are no women older than George O'Leary.
Can you well, hello, that? Gaia.
The idea of George O'Leary ever being 48 is funny to me.
Like, yeah, he was born at, like, that probably is on his resume. I was born at 75.
I was born in 4,200 weeks.
Collected Social Security checks in second grade. Eat it, suckers.
You're getting free lunch. So's George. Oh, that's way too much George O'Leary talk. Jason Kirk, do you have a reader question?
From Ben Price, Benjamin_James4. What is the most embarrassing piece of gym equipment to be assaulted by? Not a kettlebell, for one.
No, that's pretty scary. That's a good pick. It's a great pick in a fight.
It might be the best. Like, not only can you actually hoist it, if you get hit with it, it's like such centralized damage. Like if you get hit with a dumbbell, you know, you're only catching a corner of it. You're not catching the full brunt of the entire object. Whereas a kettlebell, all of its mass is in one place.
I would just, somebody suggested this on Twitter the other day. I would just start throwing weight collar, barbell collars like ninja stars.
That's a good one.
Just start winging them.
Somebody else mentioned using barbells like brass knuckles. They're like, yeah, just pick up a pair of 15s or 20s. And I was like, I think you're seriously overestimating your own strength.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it would take you to throw a punch with one of them?
No, you get the, like, Lady Reebok 3-pounders. Oh, yeah. Try it with that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's basically, like the roll of quarters move.
You're still going to break the fuck out of your hand, but
it's still going to be worse for you. Too. But yeah.
I was thinking if you, the tricep pull-down rope, you could get going like a nunchuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. The most humiliating one would be...
I'd beat the shit out of Spencer with a jump rope. He'd hate that. Oh, he'd hate it.
It wouldn't hurt. I would just hate being associated with a jump rope, which is stupidest piece of exercise equipment ever.
I just Indiana Jones your ass all the way out of the crunch.
You see,
I think somehow beating somebody up with a pommel horse would be pretty embarrassing.
That's good.
Yeah, but you got to be able to pick up the pommel horse.
That's what's so embarrassing about it. Yoga, he was just laying there. I just pushed it over on him.
I think the most embarrassing one would be balance balls. If you like the Bosu ball, if you're just somebody throwing like an endless stream of Bosu balls at you until you died, would be horrible.
The big old bonk balls,
especially the one at the hotel that's like only 2/3 inflated.
The giant prune.
Yeah,
that'd be way worse. I think we've agreed that Puffy made a good decision. If I did have to pick something else out of the gym, just to grab. You know those, like, weighted stretch sticks? They're, like, 3 feet tall, and they're, like, you know, anywhere between 5 and 30 pounds. You can put a decent whipping on someone's ass with one of those.
Okay. I'll buy it for $1.
Or what about those, like, really tense bands that you know, you take on the road? You can't take loose. Resistance bands.
The problem is the hard thing to, like, kick someone's ass with.
It's a 1% shot. If I manage to actually spring it across the gym and into your eye, you're blinded. But, like, that's, I got, like, a 1% shot.
Yeah. It's a real last ditch effort. And there's an equal chance that you accidentally send it backwards into your own eye.
Yeah, it's that which shows them you're crazy.
All right, you win on that point.
I'm taking my own vision out of play here.
That's right.
Rah!
This is assuming the fight's not at a Planet Fitness and we don't have the lunk alert going off every time we throw a weight.
No, DMX, he's loose.
The DMX alert. Every Planet Fitness has a DMX alert. Every American business has a DMX alert.
Oh, my God. I would love if we gave DMX a Planet Fitness to run. Just in, like, Cocoa Beach or something.
Yeah, go. Be passive. Be quiet. Don't make noise.
Why are all these benches covered in blood? Shut up.
Hell is hot, and the gym is open.
So and is the gym. The gym is too. Let us pray.
The compressor is broken. It will be fixed.
Like, of all of the rappers I'd want to meet and tell him how much I just loved him and give him a hug, it would be DMX is like number one.
Wow.
I just want to be like, oh, man, you're so intense. You just need a hug, man.
Just come relax. I appreciate that.
I think he would too.
I think he would actually appreciate. I bet he, when people come up and hug him, I bet he really likes it.
I'll make a vow. If I ever meet DMX, the first thing I'm going to do is give him like the longest, most compassionate man hug ever.
Jesus Christ. I already. All right. I'm going to start working on what I'm going to tell your family. Yeah.
Spencer,
we told him not to, but it was important to him. He says he wanted us to let you know that he loved you very much. And DMX will be taken back to the jungle.
How do you plead? my question tonight is this. It's from Dan _ Shepherd. And it's this. Brian Kelly, quote, sang, unquote, read. Put in parentheses, read. Like a stage direction. This is a tweet with stage direction, Dan Shepherd. Kind of impressed. He sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the Cubs game last night. Can you make Celebrity Hot Tub sing it as Spurrier? I want you to understand that, damn it, I can't make Celebrity Hot Tub do anything.
That is so untrue.
Now,
you don't know your own power, Spencer.
I can tell Ryan Nanny to, I don't know, go to St. Petersburg, Florida for 2 weeks in the hot, like, the heat of summer. Which is something I am actually doing to him. But I can't tell Celebrity Hot Tub to do anything. But I can sing it myself, as Spurrier. So let's go ahead and hear what that might sound like.
Y'all hear me? Okay. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. That cart girl, well, she promised she'd be right back. And it's 100 yards to the stick, son. And you know, that pitching wedge ain't the club. Here's my beer. Cheer. Watch me three putt, damn it. Get the cart.
Bad boy. All we do is make hits.
Uh-huh.
I like how Jason's outside tonight.
With DMX, apparently.
Well, yeah. X heard that singing. He appreciated it.
How many takes did that take you?
First take.
I'm
like Batman in the Lego movie. First time.
That's, yeah. I mean, studio time is precious at Hall Manor, so.
I drop like 20 tracks in a night, man. I don't slow down.
Yeah, oh, like Prince. Man.
Yeah.
Can we get you a It's Dark and Hall is Hot tattoo?
No. I still need to get that damn Michigan tattoo.
Yeah, when are you going to get your Michigan tattoo?
Yeah. Well,
I should probably get it in Burma, shouldn't I?
Oh, man, killed by a Michigan tattoo. That'll be great.
He got Hep C through a tat.
And Jim Harbaugh respected him all the more for it.
God damn it, that man was that's a fine man right there.
It's a good man. The Michigan's literally in his blood. It's killing him.
It's pure Michigan. It's in the bloodstream, and no antibiotic will kill it.
You'll never piss it out.
Do you have another question you want to answer?
Who? Okay.
Jason or Ryan, either one.
It's going to be rough. This is from our good friend Josh. Joshua B. Black on Twitter. Could you all deliver a eulogy for Jackson DeVille?
Yeah, let's close on this because this is actually kind of a serious thing. As serious as a mascot can get, which is this, that the Jacksonville Jaguars came into this universe as an improbable moonshot of a franchise put not far from, like, my very own team, the Florida Gators. So, hence, it's the NFL, which I understand is, to me, like paying for sex. It just doesn't feel right. It never will. It's just not my thing.
Unless you're in Green Bay.
Just a cold, inhuman variation of the thing I want. But I will say this. Jackson DeVille's done the following in the course of his work as the mascot for, I believe, 19 years, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
19 years. This dude has done the job for 19 years, and he has done the following for, in probably like what is honestly the most thankless job. You were the mascot for the Jaguars, a team that peaked in its first 2 years of existence. It's been all downhill ever since. And here's what he has done. Endangered his life by jumping off of light towers on a bungee cord in a mascot suit. All right? A long way. Like from those light towers at the top of the stadium in Jacksonville. And he has jumped down and mastered probably, like, he's probably the only person who's done this in a plush outfit, right? Like, he's probably the world's leading expert on this.
We're talking about Florida.
I'll say he's the only person who's done that in the Continental 48.
Can you say this? He's the only person who did this for the goddamn Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, we're still for
talking
nothing.
About Florida, though.
Right. He's he has traveled internationally to streak. He has been hit by a paintball gun. He has been put on a Speedo to dive into God knows whatever is in that water. In the pool overlooking the field from the end zone in the Jags stadium. He has done wheelies at tailgates. He has been on fire. Like Jackson DeVille famously caught on fire in service of his team. Often in front of hundreds of people at a Jacksonville Jaguars game.
He's also gone to Twitter war successfully with Mike Florio.
Destroyed Mike Florio on Twitter.
Mike Florio, a shitty mascot, got destroyed by Jackson DeVille, a glorious mascot.
Exactly. A guy who did this for, I think, a pretty good amount of money, if you count it as a profession.
Sure.
Yeah.
But and last I checked, and I haven't looked in a while, he was listed on Virginia Tech's a Wikipedia page as like a notable alum.
Correct. So he understands the Pyrrhic victory as the pinnacle of your fan existence, right? Like, he understands, I won't win it all, but I'll keep someone else from winning it all.
Worth it.
My one question is this like an actual person? Is it not a person in a mascot suit? Why do they have to retire him? Why can't they just put someone else in the suit?
Well, because Curtis, and that is his name, he is not the kind of guy, like, I don't think you replicate what Jackson DeVille did, which was being set on fire, jumping off of light towers, showing up at tailgates to ride motorcycles in a mascot uniform. That's not, you know, beating up. He was enormously creative. And uh-huh. And all in service of, like, a franchise that
in many years did not deserve that creativity.
Dude has never deserved it. Like, mostly has never deserved the kind of creativity that this person poured into the job.
See, I feel like surely you can find some wacko in Florida who can do all of these things. Maybe is it like a legal thing? Like, God, the insurance for this guy is through the roof.
Here's the thing. Jackson DeVille found the exact balancing place between crazy Floridian and arrested mascot. Like, he never crossed that line into actually dangerous to others. And that was the trick that he managed to pull off.
So I will say this. Curtis joins, I think, the pantheon of truly great, inspirational, devoted, and love. Like, worthy of your love. Mascots worthy of your love and devotion. Even though he's an NFL mascot, I think he transcends the crude barriers between the amateur and pro ranks. He joins, for me, the Hurricanes mascot. The guy who, in the course of being Sebastian during Miami's heyday, was arrested and was also shot on Bourbon Street. One of our truly great collegiate mascots, he joins him.
Was once photographed with a rifle, if I recall.
yes, he joins the guy who played the Oregon Duck who showed up drinking beer in the Oregon Duck mascot suit. Back in 2005, Shalom. He joins Tree, anyone who's ever played Tree, because all of them have been arrested at one point in the course of their service to Stanford University.
There's no reason why Tree shouldn't have been the warden during the Stanford prison experiment.
He might have been. We don't know that.
Fair.
We can't overlook the Cincinnati's mascot, who was arrested during a snowball fight during a game.
Correct. And cuffed by... There's video of him being cuffed by the cops,
mm-hmm.
which will serve as the header image for this post. I guarantee you that is what we are going to use.
Can you just put Puffy's head on the Bearcat mascot? That would sum things up.
Been around the world and I'm a been to wrong. Yeah, we can do that.
There.
And in addition to that, joins such illustrious mascots as Bevo. Just poops wherever he wants, and that's mm-hmm. always been a great source of like admiration for me.
Yeah, and then that poop is sold for $8.99.
Oh, no, Steve Patterson's got it up to $29.99.
Spencer, you can definitely sell your poop on eBay. Dream big.
I could, but Steve Patterson could sell it for more at Texas. And also, I have a great admiration for Ralphie for getting loose and facing down Nebraska in a way that was far more intimidating than the Colorado Buffaloes ever managed. Still not the best, though, because remember, in 1995, the Miami Heat mascot, Bernie, B-U-R-N-I-E,
like fire,
pulls a female fan onto the court by her legs during an exhibition game in Puerto Rico. The fan turns out to be the wife of a local judge. Bernie is convicted of aggravated assault.
Dude,
and Bernie, not the man in the Bernie suit. Bernie is still in the Puerto Rico jail.
This is so far off, but now I found an old, it looks like 2004 report from USA Today. Chicago Bulls secondary mascot, Da Bull, arrested for allegedly selling marijuana from his car. Last line of the item, he was not dressed as a bull at the time of his arrest.
Oh, my God. Florida's so much... Like, Florida still wins, though, because Florida's Billy the Marlin accidentally knocks an elderly man unconscious with a CO2-propelled T-shirt.
Bop, bop, bop!
Anyone here from Puerto Rico? Oh, my God. The best part is that if you live in Florida and you see an old guy get knocked unconscious with a CO2-propelled T-shirt.
Oh, you just laugh.
Oh, you think it's the greatest thing in the world. It's eat it.
And you know what? So does he, deep down inside. Deep down inside, he knows that as a Floridian, he deserves to get shot with a T-shirt.
That's right. I contribute nothing to society down here. I deserve this.
Kill me with cotton.